women's prisons, juvenile hall, men's prisons, those types of things. But in the Central Valley, the capital city of San Jose, we have everything that you have here. We have McDonald's, Burger King, Denny's, Outback. We have all of those things that you would have here in the capital city. And we have a million missionaries in the capital city doing all of those things already. And so we would go and we would go to the women's ministry or a prison. We'd go to all the penitentiaries that they would have. You know, and they were good ministries, and they are worth doing. But it didn't speak to our heart. The Lord was saying, no, this is not why I brought you to Costa Rica. So don't worry, I'm a crybaby pastor, so if I start doing these things, it's normal. Don't feel bad. Maybe if you laugh, it'd help me out. But so we didn't feel that. That wasn't the Lord's plan. So a guy said, hey, Gary and Kathy, why don't you come with me to the jungle, to the indigenous people? And Kathy's like, oh, I'm not a camper. I don't like bugs. It's hot over there. But I said, hey, it'll be kind of like a little adventure. We'll go and check it out and see what it has to. And you know what? That's what the Lord wanted us to do. Kathy goes, I hate this, but I know that this is what the Lord wants us to do. And so that's what we did. We are now missionaries to the indigenous people of Costa Rica. There are six or seven indigenous groups, and all of them speak a dialect in their native language, but none of them can understand each other either. And so it's really a difficult job. So we primarily minister to the Bribri Indians. The Bribri are in Zone 8-1, which is on the Caribbean side along the Panama border. And we have been placed in charge of that whole zone, Kathy and I as missionaries. Now, that's a big zone. The indigenous people stretch the entire Panama border in a mountainous area called Talamanca. And in Talamanca, the roads only go in a little bit, and then you have to backpack in or canoe in or four-wheel drive in or use a motorbike to get in or just walk. So it's very difficult to reach these people. On top of that, these people are protected by the Costa Rican government. So you need permission to go in and minister to the indigenous people. And you're only allowed to bring so many groups in a year to the indigenous people as well. So in that year and a half, we have been fortunate enough to... Canadians are a little bit different than the Assemblies of God of the United States missionaries in this area, because they'll go and stay at a hotel, and then they'll go into the jungle, do a little teaching, and then they go back to the hotel, and then they come back and do a little teaching, and they go back. They don't eat the food, they don't sleep in their homes, and they don't drink the water. But Kathy and I go in, we go in for a week at a time and a week out, a week in and a week out. We eat their food, we sleep in their bed, we get under the mosquito net, we get chewed up to death. But we survive somehow. And we have developed so many relationships with them. That process alone is gold for a missionary. To build relationship, your first 6 months is always about building relationship, not teaching, not trying to pour into their lives, not looking at them as a target for salvation, just simply being their friend for the first 6 months. In a year, we have now received a license to be able to teach and preach with the indigenous people for 12 years. No other missionary has that. God gave us that favoritism. It was amazing. We did nothing to earn that, we feel. We just showed up and that was given to us. So in that year and a half, if you hit the next slide, we have a hub church. This hub church is underneath the Assemblies of God of Costa Rica. That is our umbrella. We needed a letter of invitation to do ministry in Costa Rica, and they invited us to do ministry in Costa Rica. We had a meeting with them. We thought, oh, the Assemblies of God is going to tell us what to do now at this meeting. They're going to tell us this is what we need you to do, and you're going to do this and that and be kind of a boss. Instead, we showed up there, which is unheard of, really, for all the other missionaries. We were different because we were Canadian, I guess. I don't know. We say A a lot. But the president, the Dave Wells of Costa Rica, actually, he oversees all of Central America. He came to us and said, no, we just want to know what we can do to help you reach the lost in Talamanca. So that right there was another huge blessing from God for us to walk in. So we have a hub church in the middle here. It's in Sereca. We can drive there. Sereca is a 30-minute drive on a dirt road. When I first went in there, we had to cross five rivers to get to Sereca. Now they have some nice bridges along with the dirt road, and we only have to cross one river. And so we're very thankful for that. Out of that hub church, we decided that we would make a ministerial. A ministerial is not made up of Pentecostals primarily. It's made up of evangelicals that want to serve God, want to see the region reached for Christ. So we made a ministerial made up of these pastors. So at that time, there was four of them. So that comes out of that hub church as well. Out of the hub church, we decided, because we saw that they had places, we started to build churches, but we had no pastors. And so we needed pastors. So we thought we would do Bible school with CDs. So that was out. We thought, you know what? We don't need to, because the Assemblies of God has a big school like Summit, but they send out professors to live in the area to do satellite schooling. So instead of reinventing the wheel, we came along and supported that because he had great needs. He was very limited in the supplies that he had and how he could teach and all of that. So we came along and said, hey, we are going to help you do this. So now not only do we have one in this hub church, but we have four other locations just like this in different areas of the jungle to teach these programs. So that comes out of the hub church as well. Campo Blancos are really great. This is my baby. Kathy likes to do the encouragement projects and women's ministry. Campo Blancos is, this is what God's made me for. I can tell you that right now. Campo Blancos are places where there is no gospel. They've never heard about the stories in the Bible. They've never heard about Jesus and what he can do for them. They have no church. They have nothing. It is a clean slate. That's what Campo Blanco means. We have six of these locations, two of which we have to backpack into. Kathy and I backpacked. We take a canoe, a dugout canoe that they make out of one big tree with a little Honda engine on the back. We zip down the river about a half an hour down the river. We get out. We throw our backpacks in the back of a banana truck. We go another 30 minutes back into the jungle towards Panama, towards the border, deep in. And then we get out, and he says, this is your stop. And there's nothing around but bush, jungle. And Kathy goes, really, this is our stop. This is your stop. So Dan, our Bree pastor, hops out and goes, we're almost there. We're almost there. We put our packs on and we walk for 2.5 hours into the bush. It's only 3 kilometers. How many, you could walk 3 kilometers in less than that. You could probably do it in 40 minutes. It took us 2.5 hours to get there. Kathy was the first white woman to ever be in this community, ever, the first time we went. And so Kathy immediately began the women's ministry there. She cursed me the whole way, and she cursed me all the way back down. And every time we go, she curses me. But when she gets up there, she just falls in love with the people. It's amazing. There's no electricity. Sun goes down at 6 o'clock. Eat your dinner quick, otherwise you get bugs in it when you have to use your flashlight. The extra protein for the walk. Crunchy, some of it, too. Then you finish all that, and you go to bed. And if you want to take a shower in the morning, you should do it at night to cool off and get all the sweat off you so you can sleep well. There's a little river over there that they've dammed up and a bamboo chute with water that comes out of top of it, and it's kind of private a little bit. You feel like you're skinny dipping. It's like Herbal Essence commercial. It's amazing. You know, but that's how you do it, right? And there's big spiders about that big that are on the roofs of the house. And then one night we heard this, what is that? And it was a bat flying around in the house too, because it's all open. You're just sleeping underneath a palapa or a rancho or a thatched roof. There we go. I'll get the word coming sooner or later. A thatched roof. And in the homes, there's no furniture in the homes. It's just a few hammocks here and there. But we decided instead of using mosquito nets, because the bugs come underneath and they still bite you from the floorboards and stuff, we sleep in a two-man tent. And then we feel, zip that up, doesn't matter if there's snakes, bats, all that stuff. It's beautiful. And so you can hear the frogs at night. Everywhere, and you fall asleep. It's paradise to me. Kathy hates it. So those are Campo Blancos. We also, the women's ministry, and that's Kathy. While I'm teaching and training at the ministerial, the men, on what it means to keep appointments, to be planning well, to all kinds of things, what is your goals, what is your drive to what we're doing in these events, Kathy's teaching women, and that is a huge blessing there. While we were back at Christmas time describing this to a church, I got a message on my phone, so I made the 3 extra bubbles. We had 3 to 4 more pastors wanting to become part of our ministerial. So it's growing. The region is growing, and we're seeing things happen. So that's kind of how you see how we do our ministry. So I'll show you here. Oh, go again. Nope, one more. It should be a tent. One more. Oh, you keep going back. There we go. Keep going. That wasn't going when I was doing it, right? Because it was on my screen. Ah, sorry, guys. So this is our tent. This is how we sleep. This is the hotel. It's called Cinco Estrellas. And if you sleep outside, you can have 1 million stars. So this is a 5-star. You go outside, you get 1 million stars. So Kathy was really chewed up. She had to actually go to the doctor because she had to take medicine internally to get rid of the bites. They were really big spider bites and things like that. So I thought, how am I going to do this? My wife loves this ministry. She likes going. She just doesn't like nature so much. And so I thought, you know what? Let's get a tent. And so we went and bought a backpacking tent and some colchones, the air mattresses, and we sleep on those. And it's very hot, so you don't need a sleeping bag. You just sleep with a sheet. If you're crazy, usually you just kind of have the sheet hanging around because it's so hot, you can't do it. So next I want to talk about teams. Go ahead to the next one. So this is the Cinco Estrellas. This is the hotel that you're going to be staying in when you come to Costa Rica with us. Yeah. Right on. So you can do, we have four tiers, and you can discuss this with the pastor. Tier one is you sleep in a hotel and you go back and forth into the jungle. That's a real boring thing. Tier two is you sleep in the hotel. Tier two, you sleep in here. And then we do all of our ministry with Campo Blancos that we can drive to. And you eat the food, which is not any, it's not monkey and things like that. They eat, well, I haven't had any monkey yet. So, but it's usually just rice and beans and chicken and platanos, the plantains that they cut into chips and they fry them and put a little salt on them. They're really, really good. And so those, so that's the tier two. Tier three, we have to plan a little bit harder, and we get backpacks and we go in. But the indigenous will come down with horses and pack all your food and building supplies into. So they use horses to do that. And if you're a girl, they take your pack. That's awesome. So guys, you pack the girls' packs heavier. I learned that. So there's all these tricks, eh? Tier four is that you have to pack your food, your building supplies, and everything, and you go a longer distance. We have one that takes 6 hours to get to, and we each actually have a Campo Blanco that I haven't been to a year, but it's 2 days. And so I would like to do that someday if we ever get the chance to do it. But teams are very important in Costa Rica. You can go to the next slide. This is our first team from Edmonton. And teams, what they do is help the missionary develop relationships in areas that they're not presently working in. For instance, we can do not just working on churches, but we can do community projects, helping with water or clearing brush or helping dig ditches or whatever it might be that the community needs, that we can say, hey, it's not all about the church building that we're interested in. Remember, we're about winning souls for Jesus. So that means getting into the community. And so when our teams come, there's a variety of things that we can do depending on your skill level, and we'll attempt to do these things. This team here happened to put did half the tile floor in our hub church, and the church did the other part of the tile. We like to do 50-50 because we want them to take ownership of the church. If we did it all, they would say, oh, that's the Canadian church. We don't want that. We want 50-50. They need to take ownership of it. They need to take responsibility of it. It's their church, not my church. We're just coming along as brothers and sisters and saying, we're all part of the same family. We're going to help you to what we can do. So teams are very, very important. On the next slide, it's a video on a testimony of that particular team. They're a team of junior high school kids, and when they got out of the bus, the missionary that was there, the Tico missionary, said, so where's the adults? And I said, oh, no, they got this, man. They're Canadian. And sure enough, they did a great job. Go ahead.
I never really saw myself as a leader, but seeing the potential that I could be was really great. I think I want to become that and grow more in that.
And my favorite part about going to Costa Rica was just, like, meeting all the locals and the kids and connecting with them.
I learned that God works in mysterious ways. I think God used who I am to draw the kids into the camp and not like let the language barrier stop me from showing them love.
Watching them and seeing God in them, knowing that no matter what language you speak or where you live or what you're wearing, it really doesn't matter. You're worshiping a God that no one can ever like wrap their mind around.
If they like, there was people crying there, like they had no shame in what they were doing. I should like, you know, be more open to everything and do a lot more than that I am doing.
They all have their differences and they all have problems in life, but God is always with them.
I learned that I am really good with
kids that I can hang out and just have fun with them.
Even though there was a language barrier, I wasn't gonna let it stop me from showing the kids love and showing them who God was.
And we all just understood each other.
I didn't really know what to expect of myself. I knew I didn't really fit in there, but at the same time, everybody on the team is different. When Gary told me that I had the potential to be a leader, then I really just looked back and then I was like, hey, wow, maybe.
Now I know how to lay tile and I can do lots of stuff now.
My favorite part about the trip was seeing everyone, all of the team, grow together as a family, getting to know each other better.
It just really opened another barrier of trust, you know, with the other people.
I would probably, okay, definitely go again if I had the opportunity.
I would definitely go on a trip with Case again.
I would definitely go on a trip again if I was given the opportunity to.
I would go again.
I would definitely go again.
Even the little things, seeing the little bits of growth is, I think, what really counts.
You know, they have spiritual needs just like we do, so it was pretty cool to be able to see that aspect of it when I've already got this preconceived notion that it's a holiday destination. And lots of ministries could benefit from another team going, for sure.
So I like what Jacob had to say. Jacob, if you want to teach your teens to have a better life, just teach them to lay tile, then they can do anything. And I like when he said that. So go ahead and hit the next slide. So we're going to talk about Campo Blancos a bit. As I mentioned, there's no word of God there. There was nothing. And I'm going to highlight just one place, Brice, and that's the 2.5-hour hike into Brice, and Kathy being the first white lady there. We took a team in there from Fort Mac. We split our Fort Mac team in half. So Kathy took half and stayed down in Sereca, and I took the other half, and we went into the jungle. And it's amazing because as we began to do kids ministry, we're doing it in Spanish, and these kids have got this puzzled look on their face a little bit. And we're like, well, do you guys understand what we're saying? And they're like, no. So we learned that for Bribri, or from the indigenous, they don't know Spanish until they start going to school. And so when you're ministering to the smaller kids that are not yet in school, they don't entirely know Spanish. They know a little bit, but they're missing parts. They speak Bribri in the home. They speak Bribri in their community. They have puro Bribri. It's pure Bribri, no other language. And so as we're telling the story in Spanish, you would have the mothers interject and complete the story. So it really is a really neat group activity. I went and preached there one time, or did my devotional. I don't really preach. We call them devotionals. They're just small bites of scripture, because if you did too much, they wouldn't understand it because they don't know the gospel. So it's just devotional. So I was going to do one on David and Bathsheba. And so as I was going, Kathy noticed, as I was looking down reading my notes, Kathy was noticing that no one was, they're like, they weren't getting it. Kathy goes, do you know the story of David and Bathsheba? And they, no. And that's when we realized that it was so much in the dark from God's work that we didn't even understand. And so we then had a group activity. And so I would have Dan, the pastor, who was there. He wasn't the pastor yet, but Dan was there. I said, Dan, can you paraphrase the Bible or the story of David and Bathsheba? So he paraphrased it. And then Kathy and I began to take the nuggets out of that with Dan as well. And then the group started to interject with questions and stuff. And then that's how we do church in Brice. It's amazing there. Brice is a story that is just an absolute blessing. Brice didn't have a church, so a year ago we put a church there. Brice didn't have a pastor, so we finally have a pastor there, Big Dan. Big Dan's the pastor. We call him Big Dan because he looks like he's 400 pounds. But that guy can walk that 2.5-hour trek up. He can do it in 45 minutes. Why he's big, I have no idea. But we call him Big Dan. And all the other Bribri are just skinny, no fat on them at all, but just about this big, but not Big Dan. So Dan's a commanding presence. And so Dan just began to minister to them and teach them. And he would tell them every time, God is in your community. Now, a little history of this church. Dan went up there and wanted to start a church and a ministry. Now, when you start a church anywhere, Canada or wherever, you first get the kids, is normal, then maybe the youth, and then maybe the moms. But the dads are the hardest ones to get into the church, right? They're the last ones to come around. Men, you got to Got to get in there. I like the volunteer that we had. That was great over here. He doesn't know it yet, but he's a good guy. So we got to get the men in the church. But this community started with the heads of the household. There's 14 houses in this community. There's 6 to 8 children in each house. That's because it goes dark at 6. So I'll let you figure that out. And so, and they have their mom and dad and grandparents in the household too. So there's a lot of people in one household, a big demographic there. So, but the heads of the household came and they heard Dan's plan and they heard what Dan wanted to do in the community. They went home and said, my family's going to church. We're going to believe in this Jesus and that's what we're going to do. And so that's what they did. And so Dan just began to taught them how the early Christians pulled their resources together and worked together for the benefit of God and the community and everything. And so he began to teach them how to plant rice on the hillside that they can harvest. They didn't have rice paddies, but it's a different kind of rice. So they harvest that rice. He also told them that, hey, individually, every one of you are poor. Working your farms, it's poor. They grow cacao trees. That's what you get your chocolate from. And so they're growing cacao trees. They grow all bananas, platanos or plantains. They grow beans. They're growing rice. They have this fruit that's really long. It's in a pot. It tastes really good. A couple of different jungle fruits. And so he said, when you work your farms alone, you're poor. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to harvest that rice, and then we're going to clear the land around each of your farms so that it's clear, it's clean, there's no snakes, there's no bugs, it's going to grow. God's going to prosper this. And we're going to harvest it together and pull our resources and earn money. And that's what they did. And they started praying for the community, and they started doing really well. They all have food now. They have a school in their community for their little kids. A lot of things have been going on. In fact, Dan was telling us that before God was there, their fruit was so not there. It was just, they weren't producing. The trees weren't producing anything. And after, he keeps telling them, God is here now. God is a blessing over you. The trees are full of fruit, more than they can handle sometimes. One of those jungle trees is so high up there in the tree that they would have to climb up there, and it's kind of dangerous to harvest that fruit. One day we were there, the tree fell and crashed. And I went, wow. I said, that's too bad. Your tree fell. And he said, no, that's a blessing from God. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, first of all, God produced so much fruit in that tree, it fell over. Praise the Lord. And I don't have to climb up there now. I could just take it from the ground. So God has really moved in this community. We have another Campo Blanco. It's a place that we can drive to. It's not indigenous, but it is a Campo Blanco. It's a displaced community. The river had overtaken their community, so they moved it. They call this community Catarina. And Catarina, it started out with kids, and they would come and bring their chairs to church, their lawn chairs. And then it came with teens. The teens bring their lawn chairs for church, too. And then the mom started coming. And so now the community, when we drive in there, the kids are jumping on your cars. They got plastic chairs, and they're coming to church. I mean, we're talking not a few. We're talking 60 kids running around the car, and youth are setting up the PowerPoint, setting up the speaker, setting up the sound system, setting all the lights up, everything. They're ready to have church. And then after the kids get all the little kids set all the chairs up all through there, there must be like 50, 60 chairs all set up. The moms come and the dads start coming. This is a revival of an entire community. It's amazing to see when you do that. When you leave, they're climbing all over your car. I have to drive really slow because I'm afraid I'm going to kill somebody, but they're on top of my luggage rack. Give me a ride home. Give me a ride home. So you got to go really slow, and then they start jumping off right, left, and right. But it's just amazing. And that Campo Blanco doesn't have a pastor yet. So we're praising God. We're hoping that God will give us a pastor for that community. He will be blessed beyond imagine. So the Campo Blancos are very hard to get to. While I'm up in the jungle doing Campo Blancos, Kathy's down below working on women's ministry. So one of the things that she does, hit the slide, almost forgot, is she goes into the jungle as well, just not into the mountains, and she takes women with her, and they go into shut-ins. They bring church to the house. It is so cool. They go in there, they put a little tablecloth down, they might do communion, they sing hymns, they break bread, they do a little devotional, and then they begin to pray. Now, these homes are amazing because you're probably thinking, oh, so they're going to these shut-in houses, these older women that are Christian. No, they're not Christian. In fact, the indigenous people would say, she's a sinner going to hell. That's what she is, and that's how cut and dry they are. So you know your position. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. There's no that we used to sing. There's no fence sitting, and that is the truth. You're in or you're out. That's it. This one lady lost her husband, but there's another one that she had cancer, and she was dying of this cancer slowly. You know how cancer works. So they went there, and they surrounded this lady. She's a sinner, but she needs healing. Man, they laid hands on her and began to pray for her and just ask God for healing over her body. But more importantly than the healing of the cancer was the healing of her soul. That was powerful. So we still don't know what happened to her. I wish I could say she came, gave her life to Christ and the cancer was gone, but we don't know of that report yet. We haven't gone back there in a little bit. This lady here lost her husband. We went in there and had Bible study with her, or Kathy did with these women. You can see her there. And so now we're going to build her a new home, we hope. Her metal roof has holes in it, and when it rains hard in the jungle, the floor just becomes mud. And they cook outside. None of them have kitchens in the home. They cook outside on a fire. So that's what you basically have to do is, you can't build them a kitchen because they won't use it. You just have to improve their living conditions as much as you possibly can. And so we're going to do our best to make it more sanitary for her. If you tap it again, you can see her walking through the jungle there. And if you listen, you can hear the jungle noises. That's during the day. At nighttime, the jungle is twice as loud as that. So Kathy has to walk in. She literally parks our car on the side of the road, and then there's a trail that goes out. And she just parks there, puts the emergency brake on, locks it up, and God protect our car. We're not going to be here for a little bit. And then sets off down through the trail to get to this house and ministers to the women. Next slide. So this is Kathy as well doing the Bible study. While I'm teaching in the with the ministerial, the pastors and stuff, Kathy took these women. This was her first meeting. She took the pastor's wives to a separate building. While in there, you know, she was discovering and learning that just because you're a pastor's wife doesn't mean they wanted to be a pastor's wife. In Latin America, when the man says, I'm going to be a pastor, well, that automatically makes you the pastor's wife. And it doesn't just make you a pastor's wife, it makes you a pastora. So you are now the pastor to women, whether you want to be or not. And so she took these pastor's wives in there, and she thought this older gal right here had been in ministry for years. And so Kathy felt a little intimidated. What do I have to offer? You know, I'm not as experienced as she has maybe. And so she asked her, how long have you been in ministry? She said, 1 year. That's how long she'd been in ministry. So Kathy did this really beautiful thing here. They're praying for each other, but she's learned. In Mexico, we did it there. So she tried it here. You squirt lotion. You can try this, women, out in your next women's ministry or whatever. Squirt lotion in the hand. Just reach over to the other person on the other side of the table and massage each other's hands with lotion, and as you do it, pray for them. Kathy said there was crying. It was really beautiful. And so we're excited to work with women, both in Bris and the Campo Blancos, as well as places that we can walk to and get to with the pastor's wives. So that's what we do. We come along and we support men and women that are in ministry. We work through the church to reach the community. We want them to have the best that they can get from the Lord, the best experience, the best everything, because we are trying to reach the souls for Christ. Hit it again. So my last thing I want to share with you, this is our Bible school, and so these are our pastors here at one of our satellite churches. Now, the indigenous have to come out of the jungle. Sometimes it takes them a day to get out of the jungle, and it's expensive because the walking's easy, but then you have to pay the banana truck to get you to the canoe, and then you got to pay the canoe to get you to the school. So school is only on Saturday in this particular one here. And so it's expensive. So what we'd like to do is start, we have the satellite with the professor there, who's in the white, blue shirt in the back there, Juan de Dios. But we want to go to him to figure out how we can develop modulars distance ed, is that what it would be? Like to take the schooling into the jungle, to the community, and do it that way, because it's too expensive for them to come down, all of them. So Manuel is the man standing next to his wife, Esther, right there, and Manuel is the pastor of the Hub Church. Manuel has not gone through all of his schooling. Manuel is not an ordained minister. Manuel doesn't have any of that. But he is the pastor, and so we work very hard that though he is the leader of that church, he's the pastor of the church, we need to train and equip him to do the best that he can. The indigenous are a little bit vulnerable in the fact that a lot of evangelists will come and they will abuse the word of God, thinking that the indigenous people are just stupid and they don't know any better. But because of the schooling now, when they come, and then they ask me, Gary, what do you think of that? And then I can say, well, what does God's word say about that? And they say, I remember this. This is hermeneutics. Let's look at the Bible here. Because they get hermeneutics in the school. And so they look, and I said, what is your conclusion? I just don't find that that's right in my spirit or in the word of God. I said, you're the pastor. Shut it down. He says, I can do that. I said, you're the pastor. Shut it down. And so they have begun to shut down abuses that have been going on in their churches for a long time, which is a healthy thing. We want good, healthy churches, pastors, and congregations. Amen? So some of the pricing you can see here, next slide, is we started out with 10 students. As of Christmas, we have 17. And not only do we have 17 students in that one college, but we have now 4 other campuses on different days throughout our region, our zone. And so that's really exciting. God's really moving in those areas. Out of that, it's $28 Canadian per class. The student pays $7, and we scholarship $21. Now, as they go through and they're getting good marks, and it looks like they're promising, like, this is going to be a promising pastor. He could actually do it. We will probably start to pay more for him as a reward, not less. We want him to have the full extent to be able to, hey, we're behind you, and as you grow, we're going to be behind you, and as you take your church, we're going to be 100% on board with you. We're going to do this. And so that's what it costs. So if you want to give to special projects, this is how you do it, and you can talk to your pastor on how to best do that. We have seven classes in 2017. There's roughly, I think there's 7 to 8 classes for the year. I'm not sure. Kathy usually does this part of the slide. Each class is roughly 6 weeks. And so that's our schooling. And so it is a huge blessing. We've got 6 Campo Blancos, and we want to fill all of them with pastors. We also have, we want to start a bilingual church in Puerto Viejo. It's a very touristy place, but we feel that we can plant a bilingual church there. And I don't know what that's going to look like, because there's a lot of Germans over there. So we don't know if it's going to be German, Spanish, and English, or what that will be. Multi-bilingual, I guess, but there's a lot going on. This is my last Campo Blanco here. It's one that we can drive to. And you can actually see Big Dan there. See him there? You can't miss him. The guy in the gray shirt, and then he's in the back there. So this is a Campo Blanco that we can drive to. This is this is called Alto Acberie. Ac is rock. Berie is grand in Bribri. And so this was the church that we had built. That's how they start out. And so this church building here, we turned it into the kitchen. And they built another 2-story building where the pastors live, and then there's classrooms below. And eventually we'll build a bigger church in front of that so that the pastor can use his house as a parsonage. The kitchen, they sell food because they don't have restaurants. Then they're building a poporia, like a little store that they can buy sugar, salt, rice, beans. And all the proceeds from that goes back into the church. The nearest store for them is an hour away walking. So that's a real help to have that store up there in Acto Acberie. So I'm going to leave you with this last video. My wife does what she calls encouragement projects. Encouragement projects are when we come along to pastors, we take money of our special projects, and we buy rice, beans, deodorant, shampoo. We don't buy clothes, because believe it or not, clothes at times, the indigenous get so many clothes, they'll actually burn their clothes instead of washing them. So what we found is the best thing that we can bring to them is rubber boots for walking, soccer socks that go up high because the rubber boots, they won't chafe their legs. We buy them deodorant, shampoo, soaps, rice, beans, salt, sugar, and coffee. They love coffee. They drink coffee all day long. So if we can do that. So with encouragement, we buy and we put this all in a basket with toothpaste and toothbrushes, and we give them to each pastor and worker and say, we encourage you to be your very best. We want you to know that we are behind you. And this is just a little gift for you guys saying, well done. Keep up the good work. And if there's anything we can do for your children, because we don't want our pastors' kids to go without too, right? And so we want to be there for them. They're the ones working, because they work in the banana fields and everything else they do as well, on top of pastoring. And Manuel, out of the Hub Church, he pastors 3 locations at the same time. So it is a lot of work. So I'll leave this with you. It's a water baptism and us passing out some of those gifts to the people. And I'll turn it over to Mark, Pastor Mark, when that's done.